Red wolves are apex predators, critical to ecological balance. Without them, the rest of us, humans, other animals, and plants, cannot succeed. Red wolves are endangered, only 7 known in the wild, and 250 under human care. Here in Chattanooga, Mark McKnight is president and CEO of Reflection Riding Arboretum and Nature Center, and Tish Gailmard is director of wildlife there. Mark, Tish, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us back.
And since we last talked, you have had a few additions there at Reflection Riding. Tell us more about that.
Yes, we have. We've added 2 red wolves to our pack that we have here, loosely called a pack. And we jokingly say that's brought us back to our 6 pack of red wolves. We brought in a new female and a new male. And this is all part of the Red Wolf Species Survival Plan. We're one of 42 cooperators in the world that work with red wolves. We breed, exhibit, and educate about red wolves, which is the most endangered canid in the world.
How much of this project has a presence in the Southeast beyond Reflection Riding?
We do have other cooperators in the Southeast, and that is purposeful because this is a native species to the Southeastern United States. So it's purposeful that we do have other cooperators in the area.
And of course, Mark, this has been a long time in coming.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been a part of this program really from early days and then have been a breeding partner as well. There are some facilities that have red wolves, but they're not actually participating in the breeding program as well. It's really fascinating to watch. One of the things that we always kind of struggle with, a species like this commitment to trying to recover the species and get it back out on the landscape and off of the endangered species list, this is not going to be the kind of thing that we're going to wrap up in a couple of years. This is a multi-generational commitment that we're making to try to save this animal from extinction. But the fun part of it is it is different every year, even though it's a long-term thing. And so we have 2 new wolves that are here, and it's just fun to see the different personalities. And Tish can tell you about the 2 wolves that came in, but one of them is just striking. You know, we call them the American red wolf, but this particular wolf is white. He is a ghost wolf. It's really fascinating. It's not a color that I've ever seen in the red wolf population. Mm-hmm. But it is. It's kind of fun to have new wolves again.
And then tell us more about the process as they grow.
Mm-hmm. The whole process is really cool. I think anybody would find it fascinating. We actually engineer who breeds with whom because we're dealing with a very small gene pool of only 14 founding parents. And so all red wolves that exist today came from those 14. So when you're dealing with a small gene pool and you need to be sure that your genes are diversified, we have to be extremely careful about who we breed with whom. So we actually have a geneticist that works with us and then a software program. Through those 2 things, that helps us keep our genetic diversity very strong. We're running at about 89% genetic diversity right now. And for a closed population, that is exceptionally good. So what we do is figure out if we need a particular wolf to breed based on mean kinship to the existing population. In layman's terms, if that wolf's genes are underrepresented in the current population, then we know we need that wolf to breed. But then we've got to find a wolf who is also underrepresented in the current population. And that's where our software program, our geneticists really point us in the right direction. So we find a male and a female we want to breed. And for instance, our female that we got just recently, she came from South Salem, New York. So there's logistics involved in this too. You have to figure out how to get that wolf to each facility. We do not fly them commercially. We can fly them on small private planes and we drive them. We typically drive wolves from facility to facility and we usually meet halfway. This time, Marley, our new red wolf, got a ride on a private plane from a nonprofit organization called Pilots to the Rescue. And then I picked her up in Virginia and drove her the rest of the way here. So she really, really got a nice ride.
She's a fancy wolf, flying private.
Yep.
I don't think she had any champagne or anything. She was pretty freaked out when she got here.
She's very freaked out still. She came from a facility, Wolf Conservation Center, and they are not open to the public, and they have very large enclosures, acre-plus enclosures, and she's only 2 years old. She's never been away from her parents, and she's never been away from her siblings. she does not know people voices because she's lived out in the middle of the woods at a facility that doesn't have visitors. So this is a very big transition in her life. It's going to be slow going for her to acclimate, but the goal is for her to breed with Colbert, one of our existing males, who is the most genetically valuable red wolf under human care. We need him to breed. So hopefully once she settles down, then things will happen well.
How are you handling things differently because of the pandemic?
One of the things that's obviously very different is that we no longer have a couple hundred school kids getting off of buses every morning to come see the wolves. So we are trying to engage digitally and be present for people, knowing that a lot of people are at home and looking for things, educational opportunities for their kids. And they want to see the wolves and see some of the other animal ambassadors that we have. Tish actually goes live once a week on Facebook, and we're moving that to Instagram. We have a dual feed now where we're holding two cell phones up at the same time to try to get that out to more people on Instagram. And then, you know, in terms of the logistics, we were just talking about transfer. The transfer has become much more of a hands-off where we kind of show up, drop the crate, let the other person pick it up, where we would have probably spent more time getting to know the other person and hanging out a little bit in the past.
It's a quick transfer. And of course, we're all masked up and it's very quiet out here. So we have a lot of visitorship from our members and our non-members, but they are walking on part of the property where the wolves aren't. So they're really just seeing two of us on a daily basis. And during breeding season, that's really ideal. We need it to be quiet and calm during breeding season. So in a way, it's a good thing happening over here. The male that we brought in, also, he's from a facility in Albany, Georgia, and he is an older male, and Mark referred to his coloration. He is really unusual. I can't wait for the public to see him eventually. He's so unusually marked, and I actually have spoken to other facilities that had him prior to us, and when he was a younger wolf, he was colored very typical of a red wolf, and as he's aged, he has gotten whiter than any old red wolf I have ever seen. He's beautiful, but he's very unusual. And he is an older wolf. He will be 13 in the spring. And we brought him in to be a companion with our soon-to-be 11-year-old female, Sequoia. And they're getting along beautifully. I was watching them this morning cruising the enclosure together.
Once we do reopen, which we hope to be able to do safely, you know, as soon as possible, but certainly in the spring when we can let at least small groups back in, it will be fun for people to be able to see them because you can't guarantee that somebody's going to see a wolf in an enclosure because these are fairly large enclosures and they could be off in the back snoozing, especially during the summertime. They're kind of hiding, but these wolves are visible pretty much every time that I've been in there. So I think they'll be really good for the display.
Right, right. And then I don't want to cheat us out. We do have a second breeding pair also. Ruby and Apollo, who have been with us for several years now, they're going to breed again this year. So we have the potential for two litters in the spring. Breeding season is January, February, March. Typical February in Chattanooga. And then it's a 63-day gestation. So puppies will land in April or May.
And then where can people go online to keep up to date with everything happening at Reflection Riding, wolves included?
Yeah, I always tell people, you want to be on our email list. That's the best way to stay in touch with all the many things that we have going on. So you can go to reflectionriding.org/news. And it's riding like riding a bike.
All right. Mark, Tish, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.